keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered how to blend a personal hobby with professional success? Are you intrigued by the idea of turning a simple interest into a vibrant, engaging brand on social media? Or maybe you're on the hunt for innovative ways to captivate and educate an audience while making your mark on a hobby you love. If these thoughts have crossed your mind, today is your lucky day. We are beyond excited to introduce a guest who seamlessly achieved just that. He's an expert at merging the worlds of tequila and content creation, crafting a presence that's both informative and irresistible. Jay Bear is going to share his adventure from being a tequila enthusiast to becoming a tequila influencer on multiple channels. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Jay, how are you doing today, my friend? This is awesome.
Great to see you, gents. Thanks for the time. Delighted to be here. Excited to talk tequila.
Yeah, and we've got some our friends already popping in. Gary is already hopefully California. Maybe he's drinking. He says salute, and he says good morning, all you lovely faces. Dustin Stout, he's another Google Plus guy. Saying Jay Bear, yes.
What's up, Dustin? How you doing?
Yes, so we are excited to have Jay Bear on the show, and we're going to be talking all about tequila today and his tequila channel. If you haven't checked him out over on Instagram and TikTok, it is a even if you're not in tequila, which after you're watching, you probably will be. That's what happened with me. It's a fascinating thing to watch how he creates content, what he's doing over there. So make sure if you haven't checked that out, that you guys go do that. But if you don't know who Jay is, you really should. He is a business growth and customer experience author, researcher, and advisor, a seventh generation entrepreneur. Jay has written seven best-selling business books and created six multi-million dollar companies. He has consulted for more than 700 brands, including Nike, Oracle, IBM, and the United Nations. An inductee into the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame, Jay was voted the world's number one global guru for online marketing and number two global guru for customer experience. And in his spare time, he is the second most popular tequila influencer and educator on the planet. Jay, thanks for being here on the show today. Who's this number one person? I always see you here talking about number two.
My friend was a realtor in Los Angeles, Rob, you know, it happens. And I should say, Jeff, I am the number two tequila content creator in the non-celebrity division. Okay. So
gotcha.
It's not like it's The Rock and me or George Clooney and then me or Kendall Jenner and then me. It's Rob the realtor and then me. So just in full disclosure.
Okay. Is it close? I mean, are you guys like, is it like you go back and forth?
No, he's killing us. He's killing us, but that's okay. Right. He's doing a great job.
Awesome. All right. Anyway, so and even Dustin says, I was definitely more in tequila after watching Jay. Yes. And actually, my daughter's turning in. She better not be drinking tequila while she's doing some work for me today. But thanks, Abby, for stopping by. So this is going to be a fun show.
Abby, you do you. You do you. Whatever you want.
That's right. Oh, just don't stay at home. Anyway, so let's go ahead and jump into this. I want to do a shout out to our friends who are helping sponsor the show, our friends at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. If you enter code Jeff15, you'll be able
unsolicited
to...
Unsolicited testimonial. I use Ecamm every single day. I use Ecamm for every video. I could not like them more, both as a product and as a company.
Yeah, it's an incredible community. If you want to save 15%, use code Jeff15 and you can save 15% on your first purchase. But it's awesome that Jay uses them as well because they are amazing community. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff they have coming up in a little bit. But I want to dive in to this first section where we're going to talk about taking your passion to your profession. So Jay, what kind of sparked your initial interest in tequila and how did you realize it could evolve into a hobby into something that's like part of your professional life now?
Very slowly and then all at once. I'm from Arizona originally and went to school in Tucson, which is right near the Mexican border. Drinking age in Mexico is ability to see over the bar. And so oftentimes when we were in our younger college years, we would go to Mexico for the weekend and sort of got entranced by that culture, et cetera. And growing up in Arizona, you know, you're so close to that part of the world, you naturally are a little bit more attuned to it. But when I was in my probably mid-20s, before our kids were born, I would used to go every Wednesday for tacos with my good friend Tom Brecky. And Tom and I would go to this restaurant and bar in Scottsdale, it's still there, called Los Sombreros. And they had an amazing bartender there. His name was Steve. And Steve was super into mezcal long, long, long before it became popularized. And he would, you know, secretly bring bottles back over the border, et cetera. So Tom and I would go every Wednesday and we'd just be like, all right, church is in session. Teach us some things about mezcal. And so every week was a different bottle and different story. And we really fell in love with the production methods and the variation of flavors and just the whole romance of it. And so over the subsequent probably 25 to almost 30 years now, I just learned more and more about agave spirits, mezcal and tequila, and started visiting producers in Jalisco and just got more and more into it. And just as a hobby and started, you know, purchasing and drinking better tequilas for myself. And then 2 years ago, next week, April 1st, when we started 2 years ago, next week, I had sold my consulting firm, Convince and Convert, and stopped recording my podcast, Social Pros, which is still on the air, just not with me on the microphone. And I said, you know, maybe I should take some of this time that I used to spend every week recording this podcast, and maybe I should just try and teach some people some things about tequila that I've learned over the years. And I'd never really done short form content. You know, I'd done a lot of long form content, books, right. You know, LinkedIn Lives, hour long podcasts. But I'd never really done the, you know, 1 minute kind. I'm like, let's just try that. So I started a new Instagram account, TikTok account, and started making videos, and they weren't very good. But I kind of figured out how my style could fit that format. And within about 4 to 5 months, we had a couple hundred thousand followers. Wow. And it's really continued from there. And now we've got, you know, brand sponsors and partners and, you know, it's a real business, all kinds of stuff. And we're in Mexico every 90 days visiting producers. It's a whole thing.
Wow. And it just kind of blew up. And it wasn't something you really were expecting. It was just kind of a fun thing you were going to spend some time on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was not like, hey, I wonder if this could be a business. Now, you always,
right?
You know, we all know a lot of creators, right? And and I've been a successful B2B content creator for a long time. And so sort of knew the mechanics of the deal, but I really wasn't like, hey, let me start another business, kind of quite the opposite. But then once you're like, oh, there's a there, It certainly helps to have built other businesses because you understand like, all right, here's what we need to do for analytics. Here's what we need to do for audience acquisition. Here's what we need to do for sponsorships and packaging and things like that. So my previous experiences in B2B certainly helped the monetization side of it for tequila.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think that's awesome. I mean, it's pretty incredible that you're just only about to celebrate your 2 year anniversary, right? And yeah. And it's grown so much and it's so strategic in what you've done. But when kind of was that moment where you're like, we can make some good money off, this can be a business. I'm sure, you know, early on, you probably got a couple sponsors here or there. That was nice little extra cash, but the step from that to big sponsors to you're doing events, you're taking people on tequila trips. It's blown up into this huge scaled business. What was the kind of the crux of that when you decided or realized we can go all in?
Yeah. Last year we tried a lot of different models, right? So we're like, okay, what does affiliate look like? What does direct sponsorship look like? What does merchandise sales look like? You know, could we do a course? Like all the, you know, different customary content creator monetization schemes. And so we tried a lot of those. We knew within about 6 months, Connor, that we could attract and hold an audience, right? So the eyeballs part of it, we knew we could do that. But then how do you actually turn that into revenue is obviously the question that's tricky. So we tried a lot of alternatives to directly monetize from the audience, right? So get people like you to pay me. And that is a very difficult model now, right? Unless you're doing some kind of a course or some other kind of chunky revenue deal, it's just hard because people are used to content being free, right? And if you say, this content is not free, now you have to pay for it. Unless you're running an OnlyFans, it's a little, you know, which is not really my deal. It gets harder. So we finally figured it out. And literally, like, to answer your question directly, 3 months ago, we were doing fine, kind of a mishmash of revenue, some events, some commissions, some sponsors. It was fine. But then I said, well, okay, let me think about this market for a second. There are 2,000 tequila brands. All fighting for the same consumer share of wallet.
Right.
Many of those brands are new. There was 250 new brands last year alone. Some of them have a lot of experience and a lot of resources, others don't. And so I sort of realized like, oh, this needs to be a B2C to B business. So we finally decided to change how we thought about it. Instead of being monetized by the audience, be monetized by the tequila companies. And so now we've got packages that we extend to tequila companies where we help them with their own marketing, because obviously I've got background in that.
Right.
We create videos for them. We do a number of different things as an annual kind of package. And once we kind of figured that out, we put out 13 proposals and got 13 yeses. So I'm like, oh, got it. That's what we're going to do.
So, and this is a rabbit trail that I love to go down, because I think I've heard you say on a podcast that most tequila purchasing happens in the United States. It's not in Mexico.
And 61% last number I saw.
So it's probably lucrative to have, this audience that you're able to speak directly to. And also, and the educational side of it, I think you also mentioned on a show that, or maybe it was in one of your posts, that most people drink tequila mixed. And so this whole education that you're doing is really cool. And
speaking to it is interesting. Even now, 3/4 of all the tequila consumed in the U.S. is consumed in a cocktail, right? Margaritas, mm-hmm. Palomas, et cetera, right. Ranch waters. And so while we often talk in our content about, sipping tequilas, right, which mm-hmm. are just, neat in a glass, no ice, no lime, no nothing. One of the videos that we're going to shoot next week is a recommended list of tequilas for cocktails, all of which are under $39 a bottle, because part and parcel, like that's what most people are actually doing.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. So I want to kind of take a little bit about and talk about scaling, because you struck the gasoline. I mean, like you struck the oil and it just started shooting out, and you kind of got this thing like, okay, I can't do this by myself. So when and why did you start using Assistant? And can you maybe talk a little bit how Maddie and what she contributes to the content, kind of how that all works?
Well, it's funny. I've worked with Maddie for a long time. Maddie Jaeger, who's on the videos with me and is also my assistant for all my businesses, for my speaking business and in the tequila business. She does a lot of the client management as well for us with our tequila sponsors and partners. She used to live here in town where I live in Bloomington, Indiana. Her parents are family friends. When she was in college, she was an intern from my consulting firm, Convince and Convert. When she graduated was almost exactly the same time that I sold the firm. And so I went from having a staff of 25 very senior professionals doing my work to a staff of myself. And I was like, well, I think I'm going to need somebody. So I said, Maddie, you just graduated. How would you like to be my assistant for all things? And she said, great. So she and I spent a couple years where she was like halftime with me doing mm-hmm. all the different things. And then halftime with other folks that she's helping. But now things have gotten so busy, especially on the tequila side, that she's essentially full time now, which is great. So we have daily stand ups like, okay, what are we doing today? Both on the speaking side, like, I'm leaving Sunday for a speech in Orange County. Like, okay, what time sound check, that kind of thing, as well as what videos are we shooting next week? So she has a very interesting job, which is quite a mixture of roles and responsibilities, because she also does design and she also does all of the day-to-day social media posting, because I'm oftentimes on a plane, so it makes it hard to do that. She does all the things. I basically hold microphones and she does everything else.
So, and I think when I was doing research that you batch content, right? It's like she comes down and stays, and you even mentioned that, like if you watch, because they're in sequence, that towards the end, things are a little bit looser after you've been sampled some of that stuff. So
because of my schedule, my travel schedule, and she used to live in the same town, but now she doesn't. So we typically will shoot every 3 weeks and we'll shoot out usually 10 videos in a row. show. And we have a camera person who holds the camera, who's a student at the university. And yeah, we try to set it up so that the ones that require us to drink on camera, right, are towards the end.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, if you start all the drinking and then you got to shoot a bunch of videos afterwards, we learned this the hard way because we used to do a lot more cocktail videos. We used to make cocktails and it was sort of like, hey, we're not bartenders. We're just real people. And this is how real people make cocktails in their kitchen, and they screw it up and they don't measure very well and just sort of like half-assed cocktails. Mm-hmm. But we realized that content didn't really perform that well. So we've kind of moved away from it. But we learned an important lesson because for a while there, we used to do the cocktail videos last. And that was a problem because if you've already had like six different tequila samples, right, and then it's like, hey, let's deftly pour this Grenache or whatever. Like, my kitchen was like a disaster. My wife was like, what are you guys doing? I got to bring a mop in here. So we've learned a lot of micro lessons along the way about how to do this better.
And you probably, after you've done a filming session, just have like Uber on speed dial so Maddie can get back home.
Well, the nice thing is her parents still live like just down the street. So gotcha. I always tell her in advance because I'm the one who figures out I am the one who figures out what videos we're going to shoot. Mm-hmm. So I always tell her, are we like DEFCON 2 or like DEFCON 4 in terms of you driving home?
Her
dad is a big tequila fan and a friend of mine. He will sometimes come to hang out, and ostensibly he's supposed to be her driver, but sometimes she ends up driving him, so it doesn't really work out the way it's supposed to. But that's, you know,
gotcha. Well, anyway, that was just interesting. So that's cool how she kind of does everything
I do the first edit, so we take the videos. I do the initial edit, just kind of a slam edit to kind of get it to time, because I don't really, you know, we usually overshoot the content. We try to keep all our videos under a minute. We used to be a minute and a half, but this year we're trying to keep everything under a minute so that it will actually run as a YouTube short.
Right.
Which is so annoying that their limit's 60 seconds. If it was 90 seconds, my life would be way better. because it's hard to get it down under 60. We've got to cut out a lot of stuff. So we usually shoot the raw video, depending on what we're doing, is usually like a minute 30 to a minute 50. And then I've got to go in and be like, okay, what are we cutting out to get this thing under a minute? And I do that. And then I use Splashio to actually do the final edits and do the captioning and all that jazz.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool. You know, you're talking about when this started, it kind of just filled a void of, hey, I recorded a podcast each week. I'm not doing that anymore. Let's fill the time back up with it. You know, Jay, now how much of this takes up, you know, your entire business time, right? I assume you probably scaled the amount of work you were doing with it as it scaled proportionately. But today, I know every 3 weeks you get a little sauced and record a bunch of videos.
The video part is the easy part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because we have so many clients now. And like realistically, it's probably half our time.
Wow. Okay. And the rest is speaking stuff and. Yeah.
Speaking and webinars and, you know, B2B stuff, right? So it's probably 50% B2B, 50% B2C now, which never ever thought that would be the case. And it's pretty interesting. The other thing that has been fascinating is I get recognized in airports and hotels now literally every week.
Wow.
Literally. That's Tequila Jay Bear. 100% of the time I'm recognized for tequila. 0% of the time am I recognized for the 7 books, the 20 years as a B2B thought leader, podcast host. Nobody gives a shit. But you start making tequila videos and all of a sudden you're the celebrity of every Hyatt lobby. It's been hilarious, actually.
Well, but you've got to admit, like, you've talked with people like on Instagram Live and stuff, like The Rock, which you pretty much said his tequila wasn't very good. And he was cool. I mean, he's very cool. And then Guy Fieri, you had him on. Yeah. I mean, talking to other people who like tequila. You've got some big names coming on the channel.
Yeah. And more on the way on that front for sure. It is interesting. Every once in a while, the streams cross in a funny way though. I was doing an event a couple weeks ago, speaking event, and And a guy came up to me afterwards. He's like, when you walked on stage, I was like, I recognize that guy somehow. And then he realized, like, about 2 minutes into the speech, like, that's the tequila guy who's the keynote at our annual conference. Like, what is going on here? It's like,
it's, that's it's, hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when people, like, they're like, wait, I didn't know you did that. And then, you know, the other way around, you get some people who are, who are business fans, and they had no idea that I also did tequila or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Cool. That's cool. And of course, I love that when your daughter works for you, saying that you pronounce guy's name wrong. Okay. Thanks, Abs.
It's true. It's Fietti. Fietti with a D, not a R. And, yeah. And I will tell you, his representation is very adamant about making sure you get that right. In fact, we had like a whole special call before we did the live thing with him. Like, remember, it's Fietti. Not Fieri. And I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you do you.
Yeah. So if you're watching, I'm very sorry. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, first of all, I got some great comments from our friends. Gary says, tequila makes my fingers hurt. When I drink it, people keep stepping on them. Well, at least it doesn't make your clothes fall off, Gary, so that's good.
I like that. I might have to make a shirt out of that for a merch store, Gary. That's a good one.
And yeah. Dustin says, I can't have hobbies because they always turn into businesses, which is
true in his case.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, yes, he is. I've seen him get carded. So he is old enough to drink. So one of the things that I want to talk about next is like the inspiration that you get for your content. Like, you know, this takes some time to do. You just can't sit there and drink tequila and film it. Like, how do you come up with fresh ideas? Do you ever go like, I don't know, I'm like plumb out of what to talk about tequila today. But do you poll your audience? How do you engage them in there? How do you find out what content you're going to, you know, batch out later with Maddie?
Yeah, it's actually a whole variety of different things. I mean, some of it I just, you know, just comes to me because I'm thinking about it, or I see somebody else's content, or somebody asked me a question in the DMs. I'm like, oh, that is a good question. We should get that answered. So that sort of flotsam and jetsam happens all the time. And then some of it's reviews, right? So somebody sends us a new bottle, or there's a new release, or there's a new brand extension. Like, we should talk about that and see if we like it, et cetera. So that part's pretty simple. But yes, we've done posts in the past where we actually went to the audience and said, what do you want to know? And if we actually use your question as a video, we'll give you a gift card to our merch store. That's been really successful. Cool. And I actually use Dustin's product, Magi, to actually say, okay, give me 100 questions that people might have about tequila, right? And some of those are not video appropriate or whatever, but sometimes you get some gold in the river, and I'm like, yeah, that is a good question, and we should answer that as well. So it's a whole bunch of different sources, and we try to as much as we can, kind of keep the editorial calendar very much a Noah's Ark, a little of this, a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. So it doesn't get boring for people. But, you know, I wish I could say I've got it all figured out. I know exactly how the algorithm works. I know exactly what content performs, but I don't. Sometimes it surprises you and does way better than you think. And sometimes it surprises you and does way worse than you think. And if I knew exactly why and when, you know, I would I would feel a lot better, but you know, gotcha. You don't know.
I'm interested to hear about, like, I know you've kind of gone, usually it's with celebrities, but Instagram Live and TikTok Live. Do you like doing that, or how do you fit that in your schedule? Or is it kind of a one-off whenever? How do you
kind of a one-off, and I do like it, right? Because it's a skill set that I've got from doing so much podcast hosting, et cetera. So it doesn't bother me to do it at all. In fact, I enjoy it. But I find, at least so far for me, it doesn't actually perform particularly well. Gotcha. In terms of raw numbers, right? Now, excerpting the conversation and then turning that into a more conventional reel or what have you afterwards tends to do better. But the live itself is a little bit trickier for me, at least so far. Maybe we're not doing it right, but we haven't really cracked the code on that just yet. So because we're launching a new podcast, I don't think we'll lean into lives a ton for the next probably 6 months. But towards the end of this year, we'll see where we're at with all the different formats. So we've already added YouTube and Facebook and a blog this year already. So we're adding a lot of legs to the content stool. And since it's literally just Maddie and myself, I'm cognizant of not overloading the boat with too many things.
So you teased it, and I think it's breaking news, your new podcast. You kind of said you want to talk about that just really quick.
Yeah, it is breaking news because I've never announced it. We just signed the deals this week. It's going to be called The Spirit Guides. It's going to be a twice a month show, both on YouTube and conventional podcast players, where I interview other people who are influencers and content creators in the spirits community. So the people who kind of do what I do for gin or vodka or rum or whiskey or bourbon or wine or seltzers or beer, we'll talk to them and probably some celebrities as well, probably some other folks in the tequila community too. And the show is going to focus on their origin story. As I mentioned offline to Jeff and Connor, like nobody went to college to be a gin influencer. So like how did that happen and why did it happen? And how, you know, the same way that for me, it's really affected my life in terms of how I spend my time and getting recognized in airports. And like, it's really become, you know, in some ways the most gravitational pull in my whole life. And that's been something I didn't really foresee. And so those conversations I think are pretty interesting. So that's what we're going to do.
Awesome.
Yeah, super interesting. I know plenty of people probably are super interested in it. I know I am. Cause like you said, I like the origin story aspect of it because you don't go to school for this. You can't learn from a book about this. You just kind of do, but each person has their own unique story. For you, Jay, you know, this is something that it isn't overnight, even though you started making content 2 years ago. It's 30 years in the making because you had that passion for it for so long, and that helped influence what you're creating today. When it comes to that, Jay, when people come up to you and say, Jay, I want to do what you do. I want to turn my passion into a business, into a profit. What's a good piece of advice that you give people?
Well, I think you just got to start, right? And this is almost a Gary Vee kind of philosophy, right? Like just start. A lot of people don't start because they want it to be better before they start, right? They know it's not going to be good when they start. And so they don't start because it's not going to be good. And the reality is nobody cares. Like it doesn't matter. Like, of course it's not going to be good. Like, you know, your first X number of podcasts, your first X number of videos, your first X number of blog posts are all going to suck. They just are. And that's okay because you can't really get better in a fake test environment, right? You only really get better when you've got audience reaction to like use as data points. And so the best way to get there is to just be okay with imperfection and just start getting the reps, because you'll get better every time when you're like, oh, that didn't work. Why? Let's try something different. You know, obviously you've got to have a mentality around experimentation and optimization to do that well. But most people don't start because they don't think it will be good, and it won't. And just be okay with that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Kind of on that same note, I want to talk about, you know, your experience. So you had this, you're consulting with tequila brands on, you know, like flavor and marketing. I mean, they're coming to you going like, what works, Jay, on a tequila? So talk a little bit about how you're leaning into your experience and customer experience to get this new business that is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And marketing. Maddie said it the other day, we were having our daily meeting. She's like, did we just rebuild a consulting firm, but all the clients are tequila? I'm like, yeah, kind of. It's like, didn't really think that was going to happen, but I guess you go, you know, it's sort of like dance with the girl you brung, right? Like I know how to run consulting businesses. And so we sort of built another one, but all the clients are tequila brands. So yeah, it's absolutely a transferable skill, both on the marketing side and the overall customer experience and kind of positioning side. One of the biggest challenges for tequila brands is that there are so many, and in many cases they don't really know like what specific subsection of the market are they going after, right? I mean, obviously Americans who drink tequila, great, but you've got to be like way more specific than that, right? And what is the occasion for your particular brand based on price point, based on flavor profile, et cetera, right? So are you the tequila that people bring on the boat to make like quick and inexpensive mixed drinks? Are you the tequila that people drink, you know, by the fireplace, right? In place of a bourbon or a cognac or a scotch? Like what exactly is your jam, right? And we find that most brands, for whatever reason, experience, resources, what have you, don't understand their ideal customer profile or essentially their personas well enough. And then what they end up with is a marketing strategy, which is sort of like random acts of marketing. And then that doesn't work either, right? So that's one of the things that Maddie and I have really done, taking, in her case, probably 5 years, and in my case, literally 30 years of experience in marketing and customer experience, and saying, okay, like, what if we just named who the customer was, and then let's like talk directly to that person, right? Is it suburban moms, right? Is it urban singles? Like, what? Who's our guy, right? And then let's align all the brand narrative around that.
Yeah. So, and I think that's what's so attractive about your channel, is because you do hit a lot of those anyway. You talk about mixed drinks, but you also hit people like, Chris Stone, who is a tequila lover, the sippers, the ones who want to sit in front of the fire, like you said. So you have that mix, but you're not just pouring it into a mixed drink and like, hey, let's shoot this back. Oh, that was good. I mean, it's more, you're crafting that content, which I think is really, really, really what makes
it. One of the most important decisions we ever made was when I first started. I said, okay, let's do some math here. Approximately 40 million Americans have had at least one cocktail that includes tequila in the last 30 days. Mm-hmm. So the total addressable audience is 40 million people. Tequila Matchmaker is the app that the nerds use. Okay. And it's very similar to Vivino for wine or Untappd for beer, if you're in those communities. I'm sure there's a whiskey one as well. I just don't know it. So to date, about 400,000 people have ever downloaded that app. So that group of 400,000 people, which includes me, is sort of the tequila nerd audience. Mm-hmm. So as a professional marketer, I'm thinking, all right, which group do I want to make content for? A group of 400,000 people or a group of 40 million people? And we very intentionally decided to go after the larger audience, which is why we are perfectly okay, you know, reviewing tequilas that are more popular. We're perfectly okay answering questions that tequila nerds might find rudimentary or basic, because we want to be the person who goes, take you from here to here, right? Mm-hmm. There's other out there who are sort of taking people from here to here, right? That are more like the 303, 404. We want to be 101, 202, and we're totally okay with that. And that's why at the very beginning, relatively early, I started putting Maddie in some of the videos, because when Maddie started, she barely drank tequila at all. And so her flavor preferences were very tuned to tequila newbie, like soft and sweet, right, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was amazing, because we would do reviews, especially in those early days, and I'd be like 8 and she'd be 5, or I'd be four and she'd be 9. Right. And so there was a huge spread in what we thought was good. And that was amazing and really, really intentional. Now, as you would expect, over the last 2 years, Maddie's probably had as many tequilas as anybody. And so now her flavor preferences have changed quite a bit, because she's seen so many different tequilas and has been to Mexico and understands all the things. And so now our scores tend to be more aligned, which is a natural byproduct of experience. So I'm going to have to get somebody else on their show who doesn't know anything about tequila. You're going to get replaced by a new newbie, gotcha, maybe.
So this is a great point and I agree with this, by Chris Stone. He goes, Jay does a great job of finding the best pound for pound tequilas where you don't have to drop $100 on a great añejo, and his lists are spot on. I totally agree. That's what got me down the tequila train. So
yeah, I mean, there's some great expensive tequilas for sure,
right,
but there's also not a correlation between price and quality, except at the very low end, right? Like you get like a below 30, below 25, like you're asking for trouble, right? Because you just can't. Tequila is very, very, very labor intensive, even the big ones. And so you get below that price point, it is essentially functionally impossible to make a quality tequila. So at the very low end, price matters. Above that, though, it is, you know, there's some expensive tequilas that are terrible, and there's some inexpensive ones that are good, and all over that kind of quadrant, right, map. So yeah, I appreciate that comment. We definitely try to make sure that people aren't spending money unnecessarily.
Yeah, it's great. So go, if you are interested at all, go to, you know, Tequila J on Instagram or TikTok and get some of those lists because they're really, really helpful. I do want to do a
show. If you do that, you'll appreciate this. The reason we have all the lists is that we're building the email list. So for us,
the email list
is all I actually care about, right? So yes, we get lots of people watching the videos and that's amazing. But for us, the videos are what create people's interest in giving us their email address. Mm-hmm. And the email address then gives us the ability to reach our audience whenever we want without interference from Meta or ByteDance or Alphabet or anybody else. And of course, that is a lesson I learned, you know, many, many, many years ago as a marketing strategist. So our in-house mailing list is almost 35,000 now. Which we're really excited about because that allows us to do a lot of things outside the video realm, which help our partners a lot.
Well, and it works because that got me on the Authentico 3-bottle special you had because it came as an email to me after I had asked for a list. And I'm like, oh, that's a good deal. I get a bottle for free and it's stuff I've never tried before. And so it works. So it's genius. Real quick, I want to do another shout out to our sponsors, Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. One of the cool things that they're doing, it's that time again, folks. Yes, it is Leap into Live. If you're creating content feels like a crazy impossible task some days, you need to come to this virtual event, Leap into Tools and Tactics. It's all about streamlining your content workflows by implementing some great efficiencies through different tools and tricks. I'm going to be there April 24th through 26th, and you can learn my favorite tips for content. You can find out more about that at leap.ecamm.com. That's leap.ecamm.com. So make sure to check that out. All righty. I want to go right to this. I could talk to Jay for like hours, but I want to get into this. And my daughter actually had a great question about this subject, about crafting engaging content. And she says, how much, Jay, are you paying attention to what other tequila influencers are doing? Or do you not care and stay in your own lane as far as a content strategy?
Great question, Abby. Both. You know, there's probably 10 other content creators that are doing it at scale. There's a handful that are doing it at scale that have sizable audiences. So, and we know all those folks personally, you know, we've met them at different tequila events and what have you. So we're always keeping one eye on what other folks are doing just for competitive analysis purposes, as you should. And of course, human nature is, if this thing is working, maybe we should do that thing as well, right? You fall into this trap of unintentional mimicry. Mm-hmm. But I am very much aware of that trapdoor. And so we really do, as much as possible, try to stick to our knitting. And it's like, we're going to do what we're going to do. And if people like it, great. If they don't, we'll make adjustments, but we're trying to not copy anybody else. I will say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. And there's a number of people out there who make content in my category who have changed what they're doing to look an awful lot like what we do. You know, that's always a little, whether it's the actual topic of the video or the shot style or the music drops or, you know, the color, even the background colors, whatever. So sometimes that gets a little annoying, frankly, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
I think all those things too, you know, are great ways to engage the audience, and you've kind of perfected it, which is why you're seeing so much success with that. But Jay, you said it yourself, like if YouTube could allow for a minute 30, it would make your life a whole lot easier because creating that short form content in under a minute is so, so, so difficult. But we also know you got to hook someone right away, especially when it's a short piece of content. So the art of the hook, Jay, you know, what have you, you know, learned strategy wise to really just engage people from the very get?
We're not where I want to be with that. We continue to work on different sort of first sentences and even who delivers that first sentence. Is it Maddie? Is it me? Et cetera. We're also now experimenting with some intro transitions, right? Where you've got some camera moves just to kind of stop the thumb for that extra 2 seconds to get into the shot. It's one of the things that's a weakness for me because my background is in longer form content. you know, getting right into it in 1 second can be a challenge. So we have a whole process of experimentation that we're going through to get better at that initial hook. And I also feel like I understand why it works because I'm a content consumer as well. But I don't know. I also feel like it's a little bit disingenuous sometimes too.
Right.
You know, like, 7 secrets about tequila, right? I'm like, Jesus, dude, this is so lame. Right. But I get it. Like I understand. But yeah, it's actually a great question, one that I know we've got to get better at, and we've got a whole plan for doing so.
Well, I've also because it seems like, you know, you're intentionally okay with experimentation. It goes back to the thing of the advice that you give to someone who wants to take their passion and turn it into, you know, their profit, their profession. It's just start, right? It's, you're not going to be perfect from the get. You're still learning. You're still experimenting. So I think, and I hope you'd probably agree with this, that experimenting and being kind of addicted to experimenting and trying new things probably is the best way to get better over time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it really is more about a psychology and an attitude first.
Yeah.
And then how you actually do the experimentation. There's a lot of different ways to get there, but you have to have an appetite for it. Yeah. And I definitely have that appetite, and I have my whole career. It's one of the reasons I got into digital so early, as a matter of fact. But Maddie sometimes rolls her eyes because I'm literally never satisfied. And like every day I'm like, I've got an idea. She's like, oh, you have an idea? Surprising. It kind of comes to the territory.
Well, I also noticed on your channel that you've experimented with different thumbnails. Like, are you constantly trying to see what's going to work? And, you know, how long does that test? This is very nerdy, but how long do you let a test run before you go, okay, time to change it up again and see if we can get a little bit more, you know, engagement or whatever.
Yeah, we've tried a lot of different thumbnails over time. Some of it's just more workflow, and some of it is actual intentional design style, even with captions. Like we didn't caption the videos for a long time, but then I sort of realized, like, you know, I know you can get Instagram or TikTok to auto caption it, but I think it looks kind of crappy. And so, so often people are consuming content in those platforms with audio off. We just feel like it's a better approach. It's, you know, usually about every 90 days is when we take a look at the actual thumbnails and be like, okay, should we change this? Should we not change it? One of the things that we did about 90 days ago is we started taking all the photos intentionally, right? So we used to just take excerpts, you know, take a frame from the video, and now we actually shoot a still photo before we shoot the video that we're going to intentionally turn into the caption. And that's actually, I think, a better process, and it looks a little better. Mm-hmm. But again, there's so many factors, right? Like, what's the content? What's the thumbnail? What's the hook? What's the time of day? What's the day of week? Right. What happened the day before? So is the algorithm primed or cranky? It's very difficult to isolate variables, which for somebody like me who thinks like me is super annoying because, you know, I you end up, I think, at some level chasing ghosts. You're like, oh yeah, we got to do, you know, a different thumbnail, but the whole time it was actually what time of day you were posting or whatever, right? Because you can't isolate variables the way you would in an email test. In an email test, right, it's like, okay, let's put the list four ways and send an email at 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, at 10 o'clock and see what happens, right? All other variables are the same. You can't do that in Reels or TikTok, mm-hmm. et cetera. And as somebody who's spent a lot of time doing testing and optimization, that frustrates me a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I had one the other day. I was doing a short and like I was getting great, you know, I was trying to do one all week. I was like, I'm going to do one all week and see what happens. I got two I was like, it was just, but it was, and it was like a huge person in our industry. I'm like, I don't understand. It makes no sense. It was ticking along. Anyway, I get your frustration. On this content creation process, because you do kind of have a mix of what I would call education, like you educating about tequila. And then you have entertainment, like the award show that you did kind of that had a different background. I think it was a green screen and you were dressed up.
No, it was actually real theater, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, cool. That's pretty cool. But It was entertaining more than it was educational. So how do you find the strategy for balancing those two things, educational content versus entertainment content?
We really don't do that intentionally. It's sort of like, if I'm entertaining myself, I figure right. I will entertain enough people to make this work. But we do try to mix it up, certainly within each week and within each month, so that it's not the same kind of content every time. Mm-hmm. And I have learned a lesson, and actually the awards is a great example. So late last year, we did a Tequila J. Bear awards. And so we polled our mailing list audience and said, okay, what was your favorite Blanco, your favorite Reposado, your favorite Añejo, et cetera. And did it like a legit, you know, like a legit market research, and pulled all those awards together and then shot the videos. And so, you know, award for best Blanco, the award for best Reposado. And we shot out a whole week. So I think we did 5 videos in a row. Each day was a different award. And it worked really well at the beginning, but then every day it got worse. And I think it's because it looks the same, even though it's a different award, and people just got kind of bored of it in the feed. So I told you next week we're going to do a series called March Sadness, where we're taking eight bad tequilas and doing like a March Madness style playoff to figure out which one is the worst of these tequilas. Historically, what I would have done is deployed those videos one per day for 4 days. But yeah. The lesson I learned on the award show last year is that actually doesn't work. So what we're going to do is March Sadness, you know, bracket one, wait a day or two, March Sadness bracket two, wait a day or two, and actually like time release capsule out that content. Because I think the algorithm likes that a little bit better. So, you know, this is the thing, like we every time I think we've got it figured out, we learn something else, either good or bad, which is great, but also frustrating.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Let's talk about like setup, because I know I love the you were in the theater for the award show. That's so cool. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, since you're big on batching content and being very intentional, I have to assume that the behind the scenes, your studio, those sorts of things, it's structured in a way to be very efficient, because you want to get the right video, right? But you want to do it at scale. So what does your setup look like, Jay, and how does it help facilitate this kind of content creation?
And it's something that we have changed over time, Connor, as we've gotten kind of more serious about this and put more resources against it, et cetera. But we do have some limitations, right? Again, I'm on the road every single week, right? So I can't just shoot whenever. Maddie's only here every 3 weeks, and so we got to shoot them all at once, et cetera, et cetera. Now, could we change some of those things? We probably could. We just haven't yet. So we shoot them all in my house. So I'm downstairs now in my regular kind of business studio. Upstairs, we have the Wall of Awesome, which is our hundreds and hundreds of tequila bottles. And that's literally our dining room. And in fact, one of the great fights of my life, Connor, was convincing my wife to allow me to build all the shelves or buy the shelves to put all the tequila bottles, because now our dining room is dominated by a wall of tequila. And my wife was not all that enthusiastic about that plan, because she's like, look, this is where we live. I'm like, I understand. Unfortunately, we downsized to this house. So I don't have like a whole other room that could just turn into a tequila studio like I would have in the past. And so we shoot up in the dining room, which the lighting's really good, which helps. The audio is not perfect because they don't have sound panels in there like I do in here. Mm-hmm. So the sound isn't as good as I'd like it to be. And there's a couple other issues. I have a dining room table that we sit at in the videos, and that table is iron and zinc. So it literally cannot be moved. So if you need like 4 or 5 dudes to move it. So if we want to move the table because we go in a different shot, we can't do that. Right. So there's definitely some restrictions to it. We actually thought very, very hard late last year about actually renting a physical space here in town, like a commercial space, and just turn it into the tequila shooting studio. And we may end up still doing that because I'm already out of space on the shelves, and it's hard for us to come up with different shot locations at home for a lot of reasons. So it's working fine now, but it's definitely something that we have to continue to innovate and iterate on.
Awesome. everybody has to scale. And it's interesting to hear the stories behind that. Like, we can't move our table. Like, there's certain things, you know, everybody has those limitations. Yeah. Like, I can't. Yeah,
we've got a light, a big descending, like, giant. It's mm-hmm. very cool, almost like a museum piece chandelier. Mm-hmm. And we can't move that either, right? So, it restricts, like, which shot angles we can actually accomplish, which is why we used to actually shoot with a DSLR.
Right.
But now we actually shoot with my phone. I mean, the phones are pretty damn good now, but now we shoot with a phone and a gimbal. A DJI gimbal, just because it's easier to kind of get around in the limited kind of sight lines that we have. But it is suboptimal in some ways.
George says over on YouTube says, if you light the tequila bottles artistically, it becomes an accent wall and focal point. Yeah, but still, it's tequila bottles, and my wife would be feeling the same way.
Well, George, that's why I got the ones that have lights, because it does actually look really nice with the lights. And my wife had veto power on which shelves to get. So I'm like, okay, let's get the nicest looking shelves. And that way it won't be quite as objectionable. And so we've managed to solve for that for now.
That's awesome. So I want to we talked a little bit and we've kind of danced around about talking about YouTube Shorts, which mm-hmm. is probably, you kill everywhere, but that's probably your lowest compared to like Instagram or TikTok, right? So what is your strategy and what are you going to change to, like, are you just putting everything out there? Are you repurposing everything on there? Are you going to do some other content? What's your thoughts on YouTube Shorts?
Two things. So right now we just repurpose there. We actually just share all the videos from Instagram and TikTok to Shorts automatically. And some do, okay. Most do not great. But we also aren't putting a lot of effort there. So a couple of things. One is, like, we just had a call about this yesterday. We're going to start posting it manually. We've been doing it automatically. And rewriting all the captions and rewriting the headlines to make it a little bit more YouTube friendly, a little bit more question answer kind of a situation. I think that will help some. And then once we have the podcast up and running, so that'll be another piece of content that happens episodically on YouTube. I think that will help as well. I probably also need to send an email to the house file to say, hey, you probably stumbled upon us on Instagram or TikTok originally, but we're also on YouTube and you're probably spending time on YouTube. So subscribe to us there as well. Yeah. We'll probably do that also. And then we'll see. I'm not prepared to create a whole lot of YouTube only content yet outside of the podcast, but mm-hmm. maybe eventually, because it is a nut we'd like to crack, certainly.
Yeah. Interesting. So kind of the final question I want to talk about, this is kind of the insight and influence you have on this now. And this comes from actually your newsletter, the Bear Facts that mm-hmm. you put out twice a month. Just the one that you just sent out, which was, they're really good. If you don't subscribe to Jay's newsletter, make sure you go to jaybear.com. And that's, if you're listening to the podcast, jaybear.com, and sign up for that newsletter. Really, really good long form content. But you talked on this last one about transparency. Like, you mentioned a health problem you were talking about and how you actually mentioned it on stage, because you usually don't do that kind of thing. Where's the balance for content creators, especially like on TikTok and some of this real short form content, of like the balance of empathy and transparency? Like mm-hmm. yours is very entertainment, educational about tequila. Would you ever go into that little bit more transparent Tequila J on that channel?
Yeah, we're actually talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. Because I still have J Bear Instagram mm-hmm. And Facebook and everything else and LinkedIn. That's more around speaking, et cetera. So one of the things we've talked about is, the tequila channel is artifice at some level, because I'm only talking about tequila and that's only part of my life. And so we're starting to experiment with, well, what if we just talked about all the things I do, not just that, on the one channel, so that you sort of let the audience behind the curtain a little bit. I'm not super duper comfortable with that as a human being. I've always struggled with it a little, mm-hmm. frankly. Not that I have anything to hide. I'm old, right? So I grew up in a world where it's like, I don't give a shit what this person's doing and why do they give a shit about what I'm doing? But I also understand that as a public figure, the audience wants to know the real you. They want to know what you're really about, not just the produced, the 60-second videos. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to kind of get over my own apprehension there and keep it a little bit more real, whether it's in stories or reels, et cetera. So it's definitely something we're talking about. And then the question becomes, okay, well, if the tequila account becomes all my stuff, then what do I do with the other account, if anything? Right. So it's a little, a lot of this is a byproduct of having two accounts, which we started it that way on purpose from the beginning, because who knew that the tequila thing was going to be anything at all. And then we also thought for a while that talking about tequila in the context of the speaking business was going to be a problem, and ended up being the opposite, right? So increasingly now I'll go do a keynote speech and I'll do a tequila tasting for the executives. It's like a combo meal. So that whole thing is working really, really well. It's actually definitely a differentiator now on the speaking side, a talk trigger, if I can quote my own book. we're point taken, right? Like, I know it's something that we've got to do. That's the next step for us, is sort of that Pat Flynn style. Let's really connect with the audience on a personal level. It's admittedly hard for me psychologically to get there, but I know it's something we need to do. So it's an action item.
Awesome. Yeah. I just thought that your article in your latest newsletter was really, really good. And
thanks. And that was also really a hard one to, you know, that was one that literally I've been sitting on that for 2 years.
Wow. Okay. Literally. So once again, you guys need to go and sign up for his newsletter. One of the, I guess the last question, we'll kind of wrap it up with this, is what are your thoughts on this TikTok ban? Are you worried because a lot of your content is over there? Are you just going to go over hard in on Instagram? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm worried, but also, you know, my background is in politics. I started in politics. And especially in this current climate, like, never say never. But it just seems nearly impossible to me that they would actually institute a ban. That said, our larger audience is on Instagram, but there's definitely a reason why we're spending more time and plan to spend even more time on YouTube. And we have a Facebook page, which doesn't do very well, but it's there. And now every single video we make also becomes a blog post at tequilajbear.com, because now we're trying to, you know, play some organic Google search ranking games as well. So fully understand the need to be available in a lot of different channels, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Gary says he doesn't think we'll see a ban, but he thinks it's going to be a sale to an American entity. So that could, we'll see what happens with all this stuff. Yeah,
didn't Oracle want to buy it at one point?
Yeah, there's always all sorts of talk, I guess, right now. But anyway, whatever happens. Jay is doing it right. He's got, you know, he's been doing the content in both places, not just putting all his eggs in one basket. So that's really, really cool. Jay, as we wrap up, what's the best place that people can find you, and maybe a place to find one of your lists for the best tequilas, like a Bonto or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. TequilaJBear.com is the main website for tequila things. And that's got all of our merchandise and shirts and hats and tasting glasses and all the blog posts for all the different videos we've ever made. If you go to jtequila.com, jaytequila.com, it will ask for your email address and it will send you our list of recommended tequila brands. So that's sort of our base list of just like the brands that we think are the ones that you should check out. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Awesome. Connor Brown, where can people find the unsinkable Connor Brown?
I got to go to that website first to get one of those hats. Those things are awesome. You can find me over at wdwopinion.com and across socials at wdwopinion. What a great conversation. This one was awesome today.
This was fun. Yeah, they're all good, but this was really, really cool too. I got to do a shout out for our friend Jason T. Weiser. He goes, not a tequila drinker, but a huge fan of Jay and Jeff as content creators and marketers, always learning from these two. Jason, my friend, thank you so much for that. That was awesome. Thank you for all you guys in the comments giving Gary, let's see, some other people showed up. Dustin, of course, Jim, Jim Alt, Emily Kroom stopped by saying hi, and we appreciate all you. Thank you guys so much for watching. Don't forget about our sponsor of the show, Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Save 15% by using the code Jeff15 at checkout to save on your first order. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.